Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So we're sitting here in the shed, Colly, and I'm always amazed by the amount of different types of animals that you have in here. And something behind you there in an aquarium has caught my eye. These white looking very small frogs.
Yes.
And they look like they're just bonkers. They're really full of energy.
They're
they
nuts.
Look really
unusual. We've talked about them before in a general froggy episode, but I thought we'd go into them a little bit more.
Why does their back flippers look weird or different to other frogs?
Because these are fully aquatic African clawed frogs.
Ah.
Quite famous in scientific circles because they're used a lot in research. Very similar to axolotls in that way.
Mm-hmm.
They're easy to breed in captivity. When they spawn, it's very easy to examine the cells as they develop in the egg. So you can do all sorts of genetic research and stuff like that. And as I said, they readily breed in captivity. So they've been bred into these mainly albino forms. Mm. You can still get
so
the wild
like
type.
The natural colour?
That would be, yeah, the kind of the lab form or the pet trade form. In the wild, they look... I've come prepared and brought some photographs for you. So
they're about 2 centimetres? 3 centimetres?
No. These are the babies. And I'm going to bring you inside to the bigger tanks.
Oh, wow.
Because you get a bit of a shock when you see them.
Okay.
But they get quite big. There's a dwarf species of them.
Yeah.
And a larger one. The larger ones are the more popular ones that are used in... as I said, in research and in the pet trade. But
so the picture that we're looking at now has a natural coloured one and it's sort of mottled.
Mottled, and there's a variation. So they're all sorts of different colours, but
dark
generally
brown.
A brownish mottled colour. And they'll change their colour slightly, not like chameleons, but within reason. If you have one that has a sandy bottom on a river you stay in or a pond, he'll get more lighter coloured. Mm. And if they're in rocky bottoms, they probably get darker colours. So we can sit down and... Oh my god, they're fascinating creatures. So they're from sub-Saharan South Africa, all over the place, varied habitats from slow moving lakes and rivers to ponds and ditches and everything. Almost fully aquatic, will move to other breeding areas if there's a lot of competition for food during the wet season, so they can kind of wriggle their way out onto land. If you were to pick one up, imagine the slippiest bar of soap you've ever had in your life, covered in olive oil, while you're wearing the slippiest gloves you've ever had on. It's incredibly hard to control them.
Wow.
I've been handling frogs for all my life, and when I'm cleaning them out of their tanks, it's just something it's an absolute dread. But fantastic creatures. They're called clawed frogs because if you look on the back leg here,
mm-hmm.
you can see a pronounced claw.
On
the flippers.
Yeah. So what does that do?
It's used for eviscerating prey.
Okay.
That's a
as
lovely
you do.
Way of saying it. Yeah, there you go.
Just gouging them out.
Gouging it. So they'll actually grab onto like anything they can overpower, from each other to invertebrates to small fish.
Mm.
And they have a kind of a thing. it's like if you eat a hot pepper and you're trying to fan your mouth. and you're blowing at the same time. It's hard to describe over the airwaves, but they do that kind of thing with their hands. So they're basically wafting the scent of the food and the water into their nose. Uh-huh. When they get that scent, then they'll go up and they'll shove it into their mouth, whatever it is.
So the scent is using their sort of locating their brace.
Yes, and they have lateral lines on their body as well that they use for detecting vibration. So anything that moves around them, they'll scoff it. Mm-hmm. When they have something in their mouth, if it's too big for them, if it's a leech or a big massive worm or something, that's when the claw will come up from the back foot and they'll start shredding into it and kill it. Mm. So those claws are quite effective at eviscerating the prey, and then they can swallow it down easily. And they'll swallow massive amounts of food, and they can be quite voracious. And unfortunately, as we've talked about at this on many occasions in the Critter Shed, they have become highly invasive species in certain areas. Why is that? Well, before they were popular pets and people started breeding them in captivity and used in labs a lot, in the 1930s it was discovered, and this is the cool thing about them, it's one of those little conversations when people ask me, like, oh, what's so interesting about frogs? And I tell them this, you know.
Pub quiz question coming up.
Pub quiz question, yeah, exactly. And a good one to talk about. If you were well off enough back in the day, and from the 1930s on, to go and you wanted to find out if you're pregnant, there was no chemical pregnancy tests until the 60s. Mm-hmm. That's where you pee on the stick and it shows up the hormones that indicate that you're pregnant. But a couple of African scientists discovered that if they were to inject, how they discovered this, this is always one of those things, it's like, were they pissed or were they just having a bet or something? But anyway, they discovered that if you were to take a woman's pee when she was pregnant and inject it into an African clawed frog in a lab, it will induce ovulation within the frog.
Wow.
So the more well-off people in the world, then the frogs were shipped around the world. They were in the basements of many maternity hospitals. Jeez. And they'd breed all these frogs up and they'd inject them with the wee of women to see if they were pregnant or not.
Wow.
And that's a major reason why they became so invasive, because obviously you'd have somebody who'd be caring for these frogs in the basement and looking after them. And then when the pregnancy tests came in and the frogs weren't needed, a lot of the owners who would have probably loved them would have said, well, I'm not going to kill them, I'm just going to let them go. So they let them go into canals and lakes and rivers and, again, places where they shouldn't be. And now you have populations from Wales to San Francisco to, you know, they show up very frequently in and around Europe, and especially in warmer climates, which they're evolved for warmer climates, but they still can survive in ponds in, you know, the Northern Hemisphere. They'd shown up everywhere and they're just eating everything in sight and multiplying and becoming quite a dodgy species, unfortunately. But it's a fascinating story to think that our great grandparents could have been, or not even your great grandparent, up
there
until
was a frog involved in your conception.
A frog in the knowledge of your conception. It's mental to think that. I really think it's an incredible story, and, you know, one of those things that, first of all, how did they come up with that idea? And then, you know,
I'm sure you've come up with some odd ideas yourself after a few jars.
I remember I was trying to breed a specific species of frog, and someone had suggested to me, have you any pregnant friends?
Seriously?
Yes. And I was like, why? And they said, well, look, it not only works on them, but apparently it works on a lot of species of frog. But
it is
fascinating. So, I think they're incredible little animals. They have a really weird reproductive cycle as well. If you keep them in captivity, you'll notice if you drop the temperature and drop the water level, that induces breeding in them because it matches their natural, the kind of the rainy season in Africa where they're from. You get these floods with cooler waters that will tell them it's breeding time. So they'll start to breed. The males don't croak. What they do is they have this home. This subsonic kind of, and I swear to God, you could be sitting in the house when you don't know what it is, which I didn't the first time I heard it. I thought all the electricity in the house was about to explode and an alien, because literally the tank was beside the fireplace I had at the time, and all the picture frames and everything were rattling.
No.
It's amazing. It's like this.
That sounds like the thing that was happening in Cuba. Do you remember all the people in the American embassy?
Embassy, yeah.
Getting sick.
Maybe they just had a couple of African claw frogs they didn't know about. But yeah, and the females get attracted by this sound. Then they go into amplexus. Now, we talked about amplexus before. That's the joining of a male and a female amphibian. Usually, it's for the vast majority of frogs, it's the male will be on the female's back. Yes, we've all seen that. But there are always, you know, there's a lot of ways that amplexus can be done, and a lot of unusual ways. The African claw frogs is very unusual. They essentially, the males grab onto her hips as opposed to up on her back. He grabs onto her hips and kind of grabs her two back legs and sits astride with his chin on her butthole, which is very, very weird looking altogether.
Wow.
And as she then deposits the eggs, he'll fertilize them. The eggs are extremely sticky and they don't come into clumps like what we think of classic frog spawn, which is the big jelly clumps. They all come out like individually and splatter onto everything. So from plants to rocks to branches to bits of the ground, you'll get a huge variation in where they go.
It's like a scatter gun.
A scatter gun. Wow. It's like a shotgun from her backside. Wow. Yeah, it really is. And that's a great survival mechanism because some of them will be picked off by predators, but some of them will go into the mud and survive there. Some will go up to plants, and they've all different ways.
A great reach as well.
Yes, exactly. Now the tadpoles will hatch out, and unlike other tadpoles, they're quite predatory, so they'll be looking to feed off moving creatures like Daphnia, water fleas, stuff like that. They have these kind of two feathery antennae at the top of their head. Very odd looking tadpoles, but develop really, really quickly and turn very, very quickly into the adult frogs. Again, though, don't emerge onto land, will stay fully aquatic for their whole life. So they really are a little alien and fascinating creature, and I absolutely adore them. They're one of my favourite things, and I'm going to show you. You've seen the babos.
I've seen the babies, and they're about to, I would love to see them because they look incredibly cute. They're about 2 or 3 centimetres.
Yeah.
Totally adorable. They're splashing around like lunatics in there.
Yeah, every so often I'll breed them and I'll keep one or two tadpoles and grow them on. And these are the one or two. Okay. The rest
so this
of them,
is the before.
Yeah.
And we're going to see the after.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to leave the shed.
I better take my keys. Aren't they gorgeous, aren't they?
Yeah. Ah, oh, this is glorious, Collie.
That's lovely, isn't it?
Sun.
Hello, ladies. Pop, pop, pop.
Hens are looking great. So in through the front door.
Yeah, you have to excuse the mess because we're still doing up the house, but
nice big kitchen. Lovely big kitchen. Little utility room. And in the utility room is an enormous...
There's a few of them in here. Hang on now. I'm just going to get this. No.
There's one just poking out from under. Oh my God.
Don't they look like...
So almost the size, the body's almost the size of my palm, I think.
Yeah,
almost.
Yeah.
But you can really see now how unusual they are with their back legs. The fins on them are enormous. Like they're... What was the name of that film with the fella who was the aquatic man who was brought into the tank?
Oh yes, the shape of water. Yes,
they look just like him.
Yeah,
and then yeah, I can see the claws now.
You can really see the distinctive claws there. So the big ones are the females,
right?
And believe it or not, they're not fully grown yet.
Really?
No, they can get a lot bigger than that. It depends on their diet, obviously.
And look, they're going mad. They're coming up to the thing.
They think they have food, and you see the hands movement there.
Very, very animated, very active.
Yeah.
Now, very energetic.
My family hate them.
They
think they look like bald chickens.
They
look like the chickens. They look like the chickens you see in the shop window. You can see how aggressive they are.
So you put your hand in and at the surface, and he's coming up to
have
she's coming
them.
Up to sniff. They do actually look like bald chickens.
They're amazing looking, and very, very curious little creatures. Like they'll have a look and they'll get to know you, and you can see now that the hands are going around. They're seeing what food is there.
Yeah. And how long would they live?
They're quite long lived. I've heard of them 20 odd years, like
really?
Some of them in captivity.
Yeah.
Obviously, being frogs in the wild, they'll get picked off by a lot of creatures. But in captivity, they do really well. You see, he thinks that I'm feeding them there, but I'm not. Now, you look along the body, you see all those little ridges?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful shot there. So all those ridges there are sensitive.
Ah.
And right around his face there.
They almost look like big veins sticking out down the side.
So they'll be like detecting any movement, like if we were to throw an earthworm in there or something like that, which we can do if you want.
They're just so extraordinary. The legs are really well developed, and those fins, those webbed feet at the back.
And you can see like they're built unlike normal frogs, which, you know, are land and aqua based, so they have fins like a normal frog will have fins, but it will also be quite its feet would be under its body. These are splayed flat.
They
are literally flat, and they have a very pointed nose to make them more aquaponic, is that, or where they can travel through water better. I suppose the land term will be aerodynamic, but you know what I mean.
My God, they're so fast. Look at the way they're zipping up and down.
Incredibly fast.
Those back legs are so strong. They're just propelling them through
they
the water.
They bolt away from predators.
Yeah.
And you can see as well, if you look at the top of their head, the eyes are fixed on the top of the head. And that's so they can literally sit like crocodiles at the size of a river. And anything walking past or side of a pond, they can just jump up,
eat it up. You wouldn't even see them coming.
And
they'd
be gone.
Yeah.
And they swim really fast in reverse as well, which is very unusual.
Wow.
You can sex them by male to female easily by size because you can see how bigger the females are from the males. But during the breeding season, see along the arms here, the males will get a really dark kind of patches along their arms, which is the same as the nuptial pads the frogs and the toads get. And it's to help them grab onto the females.
I can't stop looking at them. Like, I haven't seen anything like them. Also, the fact that they're albino, you see more of their features, I think.
Yeah, it really does make them stand out. All those little bumps and lumps that they have that they use for surviving really, really come out. I'm going to grab a little worm and throw one in.
You do that.
Just have a look. I tell you one thing. I can still catch a worm, even in my old age.
Here we go. You have a worm. Worm's going in. Plop.
See what happens.
Floating down to the, or dropping to the end. Dropping to the floor. Worm is still...
Oh, there we go. The reaction already.
Reaction, yeah. So the worm is writhing. And everyone's quiet for the minute, and now one is reacting. The huge one now coming up to the glass, and probably so the worm's still writhing.
Oh, he's trying to grab it. See, they're grabbing at the air.
Grabbing at something else. Yeah, they're trying to work out where it is.
There you go.
Okay.
He's got to grab a leaf.
Yeah, which wasn't a worm, but
no, he knows
they
it's
know
there.
There's something going on. He dropped in an insect as well for the other ones.
Yeah, I'm putting in some.
There's one just at the surface now, looking up. I can see the crocodile eyes just sticking out.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
So the worm has sort of stopped moving now.
It's over in the background. There's so much movement going on, it's confusing them all.
Mm.
Oh, they can all sense the worm in there.
Yeah,
it's chaos in there.
Huge amount of movement now.
They're so overweight, it's unbelievable. You ever have to put a frog on a diet, it's not easy because...
How they do you know who's eating what?
They do. They do look at you, and you feel sorry for them.
You're such a soft touch.
Oh,
okay,
there
you go. You put an insect, or
he ate that, and then you spat it back out.
Right. What do you feed them actually?
I try and keep it as natural as possible with worms because the problem with the flakes and the lumpy stuff you can give them axolotl food, but if they don't find it. It will break down and it will cause a lot of pollution in the water, and you're changing the water all the time, and that's not good for them either. So yeah, worms are great because they'll find them eventually. And here we go. Oh, that worm has gone into a cave. I'm gonna assist them because God,
you're reaching
them,
in to get the worm. You're lifting up the cave that it's gone into.
Oh, there's the worm. It's gone now.
Hey, gone. Wow. So fast, I barely even saw it.
It's gone. Yeah, sorry. Oh, no, there it is. There,
oh, right,
spit now.
Right.
Hang on. Now we...
You're reaching in again. You're
going to hand
worm.
Feed it. There we go.
Oh, wow. Just grabbed it. It's gone. Now it's absolutely gone. Oh, my God. The smallest one got it. Now there's a huge melee. It's like a huge gang of them trying to get at the worm. The worm is long gone into one of the smaller frog's mouths. Oh, my God.
Quick, isn't it?
Very, very quick. And so much energy.
Yeah.
Oh, tell me again where they're native to.
So sub-Saharan Africa.
Yep.
So anywhere where in Africa where there's warm, they're really widespread. And like, it's hard to tell how widespread they would have been before people started moving them anyway down
there. You're putting in a piece of pipe there that sort of acts as a hide. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, just like all amphibians, the biggest danger to amphibians, if you're keeping them as pets, and I give this as great advice to anyone, which I got back in the day, is to reduce stress. Stress is an amphibian killer. Mm-hmm. It's the big one. Look at this fella.
You're
look
just,
at
how you're taking one out of the water.
He's just looking for a bit of attention.
Yeah, and so rigid. Well, they go rigid.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Believe it or not, they like a scratch.
Do they?
But yeah, they do. They get really friendly to do. It's gas. My family just look at me like I'm a weirdo sitting out here like scratching.
Scratching
frogs. Frogs, yeah.
That's not a euphemism.
Yeah. It's the best euphemism ever.
Boom.
Scratching me frog. But yeah, so what we're saying, stress is a big killer in amphibians. So cover like this is really important because that makes them feel secure.
It's like half of a terracotta pipe.
Yeah, terracotta pipe I found. And I just like, of course, when you're going through skips are fantastic. For stuff like that, and it just gives them that security, and it's very natural for them. And this setup would seem very sparse because I don't have any gravel or anything on the bottom, but they have everything they need because you've got your cover, you've got some nice plants to keep the water feeling nice and natural, and they're happy out. If I'm putting in stuff to make me happy about how it looks like, I can badly impact their life, because when it happens is you're putting in gravel into these setups for frogs and axolotls as well, they'll, in the rush to catch prey, they'll shove that gravel into their belly and they'll become impacted, and it's no good. Where they would live in the wild, that wouldn't be an issue because you'd have muddy bottoms, you'd have a lot more space for them to feed. They wouldn't be doing this panic feeding that they it's not panic feeding, it's greedy feeding. So it's a good idea just to keep it as plain as possible, so you reduce that. But what a brilliant animal. Look at their little butts as well.
I know, they're amazing. They're very human looking.
They have
certain,
a very human.
Plants of the human anatomy.
Exactly, yeah.
Which, yeah. You don't expect to see displayed up against your window.
There you go, yeah.
And there we go.
I absolutely love them. I'll put up a couple of pictures we can put
they're
on online.
They really are incredible.
So there you go. So that's the fascinating African clawed frog. And
I love them.
There's my budgies in the background making a lot of noise. They're buried under boxes, but they're doing well.
We're doing the sound effects.
Yeah. We love you guys.
We love you.
Keep being good old froggos.
Is this your man cave next door?
Oh yeah, I'm starting to work on this.
It's great to have so much space for yourself as well.
The Critter Shed is part of The Warren, the home of great Irish podcasts, as is my podcast, Meet Your Maker. You can find more great shows at thewarren.ie.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.